Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Today we get to talk about being in the in-group. We'll talk about what in the world is the in-group and why it's a good thing that we're in the in-group and why tomorrow and the next day and eternity are going to be great days because God has brought us into the in-group. So I look forward to sharing that comfort with you, especially as our Lenten journeys are nearing an end and we are really focusing on our Savior's death and what that means for us. So may we have a little bit of gospel joy this morning to build us up and sustain us during our Lenten journey. The order of worship that will follow is printed in the worship booklet for this morning, and it begins with our Lenten gathering right on page 3. Let us worship the Lord.
Remember your love and your faithfulness, O Lord. Remember your people and have mercy on us, Lord. And my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my life and my refuge. When I call, God hears. If you dwelt, O Lord, upon our sinfulness, then who could stand? But with you there is mercy and forgiveness, and a guiding hand. Sound of my call and answer me. My heart cries out for your presence. It is you I seek.
I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord Jesus, you call us to repentance. Lord, have mercy. Christ Jesus, you heal all our divisions. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, your love is our salvation. Lord, have mercy.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
I remember your love and your faithfulness, O Lord. Remember your people and have mercy on us, Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we confess that we deserve to be punished for our evil deeds, but we ask you graciously to cleanse us from all sin and to comfort us with your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first lesson for this morning is recorded in Hosea chapter 5. Frequently during Lent, we see the Lord's strong calls to repent. We see his judgment against his people. Here we see the confidence God's people have when God's call to repentance works, when God's people look to him for forgiveness. In this lesson from Hosea 5, we see how God's people hold on to that promise, and they find great comfort in the Lord's promise to forgive. Then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt, and they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm of the day for this morning is verses from Psalm 42 and 43. You'll find that on page 6 in the worship booklet. We'll sing the entire psalm together this morning.
Thank you.
Second lesson is recorded in Romans chapter 8. Here St. Paul tells us what the in-group is. He reminds us why we are part of that group and the blessings that we enjoy as being in Christ, as being God's people. This lesson will be the basis for the sermon today. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. This is the word and promise of our God.
For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, have eternal life.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for this Sunday is recorded in the gospel according to Matthew chapter 20. Here, Jesus reminds us he came in fulfillment of everything that Hosea promised and prophesied. There's forgiveness through Jesus. It is the foundation of all the promises and teaching that St. Paul will share with us in the second lesson. It's that Jesus came to serve. He came to seek and to save what was lost. He came to live and die for us. Now, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other at your left in the kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. At this time, I invite the kids to come up for the children's sermon. And if you would like to escort your child up or send an older sibling up, that works out very well too. I'll meet them in the front row for the children's sermon. Good morning. What if we were going to start a group today, and the group that we were going to start had this guy as its leader? First of all, who is this? You know who that is? Yeah, Wyatt?
Captain America, the Voice of America, because he was the Voice of America.
Exactly. This is Captain America, and it'd be pretty cool if we were in his group, wouldn't it? What kind of things do you think we would do if we were in Captain America's group? Yes, Kristen. We would be superheroes too, because we'd be part of a superhero group. Exactly. What else would we do? Yeah? We would. Someone said fight, but we would only fight the bad guys. And we would win big victories for Captain America and for America itself, right? Yes.
We would fight against Red Skull.
Exactly. And we'd take him down, wouldn't we? But we would learn how to protect people. We would learn how to be kind, and Captain America doesn't have a potty mouth, does he? So we would learn how to talk nicely, we would learn how to tell the truth, and we would use all of our superpowers for good. It'd be really great if we were part of this group, wouldn't it? Here is another group. And in the sermon today, I'm going to tell you guys and everybody else here that we are part of this group. What kind of group do you think this is? Yes. It is Jesus' group. What else do you know about this group?
Yes, why?
It's the best group in the world.
Oh, exactly. It is the best group in the world. What else do you know about this group? Yes?
It's a really good group.
Yeah. And how do you get to be a part of this group? Jared. Yeah, you believe in God. That's it. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay anything. Oh, but what if we sin? Does God kick us out of this group?
No.
What if we do something bad? What if we do say some naughty words, or we do something really mean at home?
No.
How come? How come we're not going to get kicked out of this group, Kyler?
Because he still loves us.
Exactly. And isn't that why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us? Today we're going to tell this is the group that we are in. And this group makes us important. And it reminds you that Jesus loves you so much that he died for all of your sins. And when we do things that are wrong, we read about that in the Bible, we ask him to forgive us, and he does forgive us. So I'm going to put your names in here, because this is our group, and this is going to be our group forever. So we'll do Christian, Colden, and Eden, Kylie, Kyler, K-Y-L-E-R, Wyatt, two T's. Jarrett, one R, two T's? All right. And Josiah. And even though Ryan's helping, we'll let him in the group, right? And Justin. There. Now, this reminds us that through the waters of baptism and through God's promises, we are part of this group always, and we will be forever. So we get to learn more about him, we get to tell him we're sorry, we get to learn about his love, and we get to live for him, because we are in this group, we are in Christ, we are Christians. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you lived and died for us. We thank you that you loved us enough to bring us into your group. Help us to trust you always, trust your love, trust your promises. Help us to live for you, to make good choices, and to use our words for good too. And when we don't, if we make mistakes and if we sin, please help us to ask for forgiveness, because we know you love us and you will always forgive us. Please let us have a great day in your group and always, and every day in your group. Amen. Fantastic job today. Thanks for coming up. We will continue with our next hymn, the hymn of the day. It's in the blue hymnal, hymn 711. In the name of the King of all glory, in the name of Jesus, who loves you and has loved you and always will love you with an everlasting love and proved it by dying on the cross for you. So what exactly is it about the in-group that everybody wants to be part of the in-group, or at least part of a in-group? You know, I don't know that it's always a bad thing to be part of a group. And doesn't God bless us when we get together in a group? Whether it's an athletic group, an academic group, a professional group. There is fellowship in that group. Why? Because you have something in common and you enjoy each other's company in that group. Maybe there's some sort of professional advantage of being in this group. Maybe you're going to get a promotion. Maybe you have access to resources, or you're going to keep on learning. These groups aren't always bad, but the point is we want to be in the in-group. And people are willing to do quite a lot to get into the in-group. Sometimes they're willing to go through humiliating initiations to get into a group. Maybe they're willing to pay a lot of money. Maybe they're willing to go to a lot of school because there's something to be said for in the in-group. Well, today, God, through St. Paul, reminds us of another in-group. And the thing about this group is you can't buy your way into this group. You can't work your way into this group. You can't earn your way into this group. In fact, St. Paul told us in the second lesson, you're not getting in to this group on your own. Why? Because your sinful minds are hostile to this group. You don't even want to be part of this group. Which makes God's love for us and his grace all the more glorious today. As he not only tells us about this in-group, but he also reminds us why we are in the in-group, shares with us the blessings of being in this group, and promises us we're going to be in this group forever. Sometimes when you hear about the in-group, haven't you just had enough? And you're like, really? More good news for the in-group? Well, today that's you, and today that's me. More good news for the in-group. Paul has two specific promises to share with you today. One, he says, your reputation has been all cleaned up because you are in the in-group. And he tells you that you have a very bright future ahead of you because you are in the in-group. So if you follow St. Paul's letter to the Romans, it's very meaty, it's very doctrinal. And he has spent everything up to this section, up to Romans 8, telling us that here's a problem. The whole world is guilty of sin. The whole world is born sinful. But guess what God has done about it? He sent his son, Jesus. We can summarize everything up to this point by using these familiar words. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those are the two truths that St. Paul holds out there. Now in Romans 8, he's going to draw a conclusion, and then he's going to make an application. And he starts off this way. Therefore, because all the world is under judgment, but all the world has been declared not guilty by God, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's how St. Paul puts it. You know the expression, you have to face the music, you have to take your lumps, meet your consequences? That's what being under condemnation means. You've done something, and now you have to face the music. But Paul says, here's some good news. There is no condemnation for people who are in this group, for people who are in Christ Jesus. And not because God chooses to look the other way, but because that was the whole purpose of sending Jesus. He lived and died for the sins of the whole world, and he gives that to the whole world as a gift. And God brings us into his group. Because remember, you can't buy your way in. You can't earn your way in. And St. Paul says, by nature, you don't want anything to do with this group anyway. But Paul says, God brings us into this group when he creates a trust and confidence in his promises. Trust and confidence that the Bible calls faith. By faith, we are in this group. We are the in Christ, the in Jesus group. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. You know, the sin and death group, that's a group too. And there's nothing good about the sin and death group. They're the dynamic duo of the devil, right? Sin gets you to think that sin is a good idea, and then you do the sin, and then death comes along and says, here's what you deserve. Here's what you've won, because you chose to do what you did. And St. Paul said that he used to be under that weight, but now God has reminded him there is no condemnation. God has cleansed Paul's record. God has set Paul free from sin, its accusations, and its consequences. God has set Paul free from death. That is the in Christ. That is the in Jesus group. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. There is nothing wrong with God's law, is there? There's nothing wrong with God's rules. The only problem is, as St. Paul says, once we get our grubby little mitts on it, our sinful hands, and we try to live according to it, we can't. And like Paul said, we don't even want to, and we don't. Which is why God sent Jesus to do what we can't do. Jesus kept the law perfectly, every part of it. And so now there is no condemnation. Why? Because we have perfection. There is no condemnation. Why? Because Jesus died for sins. He did away with condemnation forever, and that's what gives us a good reputation, a good standing before God. So then we have to come to terms, however, with the choices that we make. Because if you and I have been brought into the in Christ group, which we have, by grace, God brought us in through faith, this is who we are, why would we ever check in with the sin and death group? Why do we take it for a trial run? You know, hey, free offer, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day special. All you got to do is sign in here and look what you get to enjoy. Why would we ever do that? Because you know what happens when we do. You do something you don't want to do. You do something God tells you to do, and you feel rotten about it. And then everybody in the group comes and says, ha, told you God doesn't love you. Told you you're not good enough for Jesus. That's what this sin and death group is all about. And you know who gets a little heads up every time we check in? I don't do Facebook very often. I've never checked in anywhere. But when you check in, everybody knows that you checked in. You know who gets a little pop-up every time you and I check into the sin and death group? God does. He knows every time we do. So why in the world do we? St. Paul does a really good job of walking us through that struggle. These are very familiar words. These are a little bit earlier in the book from Romans chapter 7. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Essentially, there's always going to be two opposing wills in our lives and in our relationship with God. There's going to be part of us that loves sin, but then there's going to be a part of us that loves checking out and checking in with sin and death. And if we were on our own, we would lose every time. But Paul says that's not who you are, because you have been set free from all of that. You have been given a new name. You have been given new life. And in Christ, you're going to be prepared for this struggle. And in Christ, you are going to win. For those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And you know how crafty and sneaky this is? The sin and death people, they are so sly. They're not going to tell you, oh, God's not real. Because you'd never believe that. But what do we believe? Oh, it's not really going to hurt. Right? Or it's just a little one. Or it's just your one thing. Or it's just going to be a one-timer. Or we're just going to take it for the free 3-day trial. And then we'll come right back to God. And Satan cannot wait for you to slip up. And he cannot wait to use that guilt then to rob you of all God's love for you and all of God's promises and drag you away from God forever. But thanks be to God, we have victory in Christ. Christ prepares us and equips us to fight these battles. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, Paul says he doesn't guarantee that these are going to be easy days. He doesn't guarantee that you are always going to win, because we are going to fail sometimes. We are going to fall sometimes. But that does not change who we are. That does not change the fact that God has acquitted us, that God has given us a new name, a new reputation. He has cleared our name, and he lives with us. He lives in us to to help us to say no to the sin and death group and to say yes to God and His will. You know, I'm not sure if I enjoy these commercials or if they creep me out. I think it does a little bit of both. But if you've noticed that nowadays there are these commercials where they show you how your problems kind of follow you through life, and they do that by having different internal organs following people around. I think one of the first ones to come on was a stomach, and it was for acid reflux. And does this follow you around through life? And another one was a bladder. And then more recently, there's a whole digestive system. And basically, the point of these commercials are, why would you ever let these things follow you around? Why don't you go do something about them? Go see your doctor. Talk to your doctor about these things, and things are going to get better. Well, Satan pursues you too, but do you know who else does? Christ does. And by God's grace, we are in Christ. And the seminary professors have a great way of teaching you what that means. You picture yourself walking around in a circle. And this circle is in Christ. And so every promise that God has ever made to you in Christ is true of you. And so as you are walking through life, you have new options. You can say no. You can say no to things that you have said yes to over and over and over again. But Christ lives in you. And He will give you the strength to say no. And there are those things that you've wanted to do for God, the good choices that you've wanted to make. And Christ lives in you. In Christ, you can say yes. And in Christ, you can find great satisfaction in living for God. So it flat out does not make sense, does it, for us to go and check in with the other group when we are in Christ. But because we do, God reminds us today we are fully and freely forgiven. And that's what's going to make tomorrow and the day after that great days. They're not going to be trouble-free days, are they? Which is why we hold on to those promises that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We hold on to His promise that when we go through difficult times, God is working perseverance, character, and hope in us. And we always have the promise that we can go back to God and ask Him for forgiveness. The kids told us, didn't they, that in Christ we can always go to Jesus and ask Him to forgive us, and He will. That's why today is a great day, and tomorrow is a great day. And the day we go home to see Jesus is going to be the best. Until then, may God give you great confidence in reminding you every day that you are a part of the in-group because Jesus loves you and He always will. Amen. Please stand. And we confess that faith, that trust and confidence that God has worked in us by speaking together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated as we respond to God's great love for us in Christ with our offering. In our prayer of the church this morning, we join Fran Baker in praising and thanking God for a successful surgery that she underwent on her foot. So we'll praise God for that. We'll also once again lift up our brother Rick Covey and his family to the Lord's care as Rick continues to walk through life with cancer. And then also we'll ask that God will bless the praise and proclaim effort, that God would bless every gospel proclamation and remind us of our confidence that we have in Jesus to share his word and the confidence we have as his people. We pray. Lord Jesus, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. Obeying your Father's will, you endured the cross and scorned its shame. Now you sit at the right hand of the throne of God, governing all things. Jesus, we confess that it was for us and for our salvation that you came into this world to suffer and die. You bore our guilt. You endured our punishment. You experienced the wrath of God in our place. For your unselfish sacrifice on our behalf, help us show our gratitude to you in everything we think, say, and do. As we walk through life, keep us from becoming entangled by sin. Remove all obstacles and stumbling blocks, and keep us from falling or going astray. Help us run with perseverance the race that you have marked out for us. When that way involves pain, suffering, or persecution, help us view these things as evidence of your love, loving discipline intended to draw us ever closer to you. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask then that you continue to walk with our brother Rick through his struggles with cancer. We ask that you would hold him up, that you would lift him up and sustain him. Please continue to give his family strength and encouragement too as they look out for him and they help him and they tend to him. Please remind all of us that the difficulties we experience, they are temporary compared to eternal lasting glory. So please be with Rick and his family. Dear Heavenly Father, we also thank you for the times we get to celebrate. So we thank you that you saw Fran through a successful surgery. We ask that you continue to strengthen her and to heal her so that she can, again, continue to enjoy life. And we also ask that you would be with her family as they also will help her during her recovery. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate good things. And finally, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we as a congregation get to proclaim the good news of our Savior every day. We thank you for the very specific effort that we went through this weekend. We ask that you bless our study in your word and the gospel that we proclaimed. Help us to find more and more joy and confidence in sharing you and your great love with more and more people. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you hold before us the example of those who have gone before, bearing the cross for you. As you led them, so lead us. As you strengthen them, so strengthen us. Keep our eyes fixed on you, for then we will surely arrive safely at the heavenly home you have prepared for us. Hear us for your mercy's sake. Amen. And in your mercy, hear us as we join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with our next hymn, hymn 486. Please stand for our closing prayer and blessing. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. We close with stanzas 1, 5, and 6 of hymn 386. Please be seated.
Good morning. It was good to be in God's house with you this morning as we had the opportunity to be strengthened in God's love for us. A bunch of announcements to share with you this morning, so please bear with me. The first is a reason to celebrate, and Pastor alluded to this in his prayer this morning. This weekend we had our Praise and Proclaim initiative, and it gave us the opportunity to knock on some doors and share the love of Jesus with our neighborhood. First, I'd like you to join me in thanking some very instrumental people in making this possible. We have Dave Mullness, our Praise and Proclaim leader. Dave, can you just give us a wave back there? All the way from Boise, Idaho. Thank you, Dave. And then our members, Jim Oswald and Brett Bangle, were key people from the Board of Outreach making this possible as well. Let's thank those two gentlemen. So some highlights to share from the effort on Friday and Saturday. Friday evening, 55 of our members were trained, not only to knock on doors Saturday morning, but just in general, trained in sharing the good news of Jesus with neighbors and friends and relatives and things like that. I think that's a Praise and Proclaim record. 35 missionaries showed up Saturday morning to hit the pavement and get out there and share St. Mark's with our neighborhood. Also a record for a canvassing group. All right. 1,000 homes were reached. All of those 1,000 homes received invitations to Easter, so Easter morning you better get here early because there's going to be a few more people here than usual worshiping with us. And then 169 very direct opportunities for our missionaries, our members, to share the gospel with our neighborhood. So it was a wonderful effort this weekend. related to Mr. Mullness from Boise, Idaho, being with us this morning. He's going to be giving a special Bible study. Is that going to take place here in church? Bible study in church? So in place of our normal Bible studies for adults this morning, a special Bible study here in church. We also have some special guests with us this morning. Pastor Nathan and his wife, Patty Pope, all the way from Racine, Wisconsin. They're here because they're going to be instrumental in designing the stained glass for our windows. And I'm going to read an announcement to get this just right. The Popes will be making our stained glass windows. Pastor Pope was the pastor here at St. Mark's from 1977 to 1980. For about the last 12 years, Pastor Pope has been working at his second career, which is in church art, creating stained glass windows and building chancel furnishings for over 50 Wells churches. The Popes are here to measure the windows, select glass colors, and answer any questions you might have about stained glass. In the lobby this morning is a display about the stained glass project. There we have a couple of handouts detailing who the Popes are and listing the scripture references that the window designs will be based on. In addition, there is a concept drawing displaying to show what the windows might look like, along with some glass samples and examples of the Pope's stained glass work. Please greet the Popes and get to know them better, and that display is out to the left as you leave church this morning. I would encourage you to check out the rest of the highlights in your announcement flyer, specifically Pastor Gab's call. He continues to deliberate. Please keep him in your prayers. And then we continue to have special opportunities to prepare our hearts for the celebration of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection with our midweek Lent services. So again, this Wednesday, 5:30 dinner, 7 o'clock service. Our Lutheran Women's Missionary Society would like to invite you to send an Easter greeting to missionaries who are around the world doing the Lord's work on our behalf. They have a couple Easter cards at the counter to the right as you leave church this morning. If you'd be so kind as to sign both of those cards and send a warm Christian Easter greeting to some missionaries. A couple highlights on behalf of our school. This coming Friday, we have our annual Paws family game night, so pizza, root beer floats, and just a good time playing board games with our St. Mark's family. I'd encourage you to come Friday evening at 6:30. And then this morning, we're going to be really trying to ramp up our efforts to get people to commit to coming to our second annual St. Mark's Soiree school support function. That's only 1 month away now, Saturday, April 29th. There's information at the school counter. You can pick up a flyer like this with details. The second page of the flyer is a little form that you can use to purchase tickets if you'd like to. You can drop this off in the office during the week. Also this morning, we're going to have a table over in the lobby of the gym. It's a little chilly. We were going to be outside, but we're going to put that in the gym lobby this morning. Even if you're not prepared to purchase a ticket this morning, you can just go over there and sign up, and that will be tremendously helpful for us knowing how many people we can expect. It's a fun evening. We're going to have a delicious barbecue dinner, some entertainment performed by some of our school choirs, and then an auction, silent auction, dessert dash, raffle, all intended to create some financial support to help our school. Lastly, this morning, we have a video update for the month of March. It will share some of the fun we've been having in our school in the last month or two.